Well, my break is not something that I'm looking forward to, just because I would hate to be away from you guys, and I hate being missing, but I am excited to be with my family just for a little bit, because they're the reason I'm here tonight, and I believe that. And but I'm excited to preach tonight. I'm a little nervous, but it's out of me being anxious, because I'm so ready to preach this sermon, so ready to preach this message, because I feel like God has laid this on my heart months in advance, and I've been talking to Pastor Jonathan and some of the staff about it and leading up to this, but it is such an honor to be here for me. God ordered my steps to be here tonight, and I believe that. And I'm excited, and I hopefully I have a powerful sermon for you guys. And it's something that has changed my life because I've just put it into my heart so deeply. But if you will, please flip with me in your Bibles to 1 John 4, 12 through 16. We'll get right into it. It says this, I'm reading from the NKJV, it says this: "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity, God, that I get to share with Christian Heritage Church. God, so much of this sermon has changed my life, and I pray that it will do the same for these people tonight. God, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see you, open our ears to hear you. Most importantly, open our hearts to receive you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If I have a sermon for this, or a title for this sermon tonight, it would be, "How Do You See God?" How do you see God? And as I think about that, and that, you know, that sort of sounds like a crazy thing. How do you see God? Nobody can see God. It says that in 1 John 4:12. It says, no one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God, and yet so much of my life has been changed because I believe that I have seen God. And I want to frame this to you in a different way, in a different light, because I feel like we can see God in so many different ways in life. It's not about just seeing this physical manifestation of God, but I feel like it's seeing Him no matter where we go. In John 6:46, it says, "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." So it says Jesus has seen the Father, the one who is from the Father. In 1 Timothy 1:17, it says, "Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." So He's invisible, but yet I see God everywhere I go now. I see God no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm with. I try to see God no matter where I go. And I'm talking about how we experience Him. How do I experience God? So I want to talk about this in two ways tonight. I want to frame this in two ways. I want to talk about how people have seen God in the Bible, and how I see God. And then hopefully I'll give you a little application about how maybe you can see God better. So some people in the Bible who've seen God. Adam and Eve, of course, the first people we read about in the Bible other than God. It says they walked with God. They walked with God in the garden. They literally walked with God. It says they walked with Him throughout the garden, and they loved God. But yet they fell from God. Even though they were able to see God, they fell from God. Enoch, he saw God. It says that he walked with God all the days of his life, and then he was taken. In Genesis 5:22, it says this. It said, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He walked with God for 300 years. Noah saw God. They saw God in an ark. They didn't see God in the conventional way. They saw God in an ark because it was their Savior. It saved them from the flood. Noah also walked with God. Abraham, he saw God in a son. He saw God in a ram. He saw God in a promise. In Genesis 12:7, it says this, "Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him." He saw God in this promise, in this eventual promise of getting this promised land, of going into this place that was made for him. He was promised descendants. He was promised all these things. He saw God in those promises. Sarah saw God. She saw God in three men. Three men came and visited them and said that she would have a baby. She didn't believe it. She laughed. She laughed at God. Sarah is one of the few people in the Bible that laughed at God. But yet, she still saw God. Rebecca saw God in twin babies. It says this in Genesis 25, 22b through 23. So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, I don't have all that, I'm sorry. But Rebecca saw God in those twin baby boys, and even though they were enemies, even though they were mortal enemies, and even though they ended up not even being close to one another, even though Jacob and Esau just fought and they wrestled, she still saw God in those babies because it was a promise to her. Jacob saw God on a ladder, and he saw God in a wrestling match. He wrestled with God until he finally gave in. It says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you and your descendants. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Genesis 28:13-15. Joseph saw God. He saw God in his dreams. He was promised. He saw God in all these crazy dreams and all these abilities that he had. God gave him these abilities to interpret dreams. He saw God in those because it took him to places he could have never gotten by himself. And he used them. He used them for the Lord. Moses saw God. He saw God in a burning bush, in a parted sea, and on top of a mountain. I can't imagine seeing that burning bush, and you know, so many times we try to explain it in different ways, but if it was a burning bush, I believe it was a burning bush, and it wasn't burning up, the leaves weren't going anywhere, and he saw God in it, and he heard God speak through it. He saw God in a parted sea when he needed him most, when he was trying to escape with the Israelites across the Red Sea. He saw God in the Red Sea parting. He saw God on the mountaintop. It says that he saw his backside. He couldn't see his see him face to face, but because of that, it made his face shine. Aaron saw God in a tabernacle. He was the first high priest. He had to do things in a new way. He had to learn all these new regulations, but yet he saw God in those in the tabernacle, because that's where God appeared. That's where God rested. And he rested before the whole congregation. The whole congregation saw God. They saw him through a pillar of fire. They saw him through two stone tablets. They saw him through a storm at the top of a mountain. They couldn't see God physically, but they could see that he was working. And yet, for so many times, they complained about it. They complained about their circumstances, and yet God was in their midst. But they saw God. Joshua saw God. He saw God through a crumbling wall, and I think he saw God through an old man. It says that, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. He stayed right by him. He wanted to be around him. He wanted to hear what the Lord was saying. He saw him in this old man, but then he saw him when the walls were crumbling down, when Jericho was defeated. This was like their first major victory in the promised land. Balaam saw God. He saw God through a donkey. He was going to curse the Israelites. He was going to try to defeat the Israelites. But yet, his donkey tried to stop him, tried to send him away. Go this way, go away. He's like, can't you see there's an angel right there trying to kill you? It'll kill us. And yet, he still perished. Gideon, he saw God. He saw God in a test. He tested God. He said, God, make this fleece wet and the ground dry. God, make this ground wet and the fleece dry. And he tested God. It wasn't like he was trying to just say, God, I don't want to do that. He was trying to say, God, if you're real, let me see it. He wanted to see his power. He later saw God in a victory with only 300 men. He saw God do the impossible in his life. David, he saw God. He saw God in the wilderness with his sheep. He saw God in music and in poems. In Acts 2, 25-28, it says this, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he sat at my right hand, and that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope." In Psalms 16:8-11, it says this, "I have sent the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved." He sought God for his help. He sought God for everything he needed. Yet he failed God. He failed God, guys. It wasn't like he had a perfect life. He didn't do things right all the time. But yet he saw God in those things that he did to worship him. Job saw God. He saw God in pain. Yet everything was crumbling around him. He didn't fail. He didn't say, "God, I quit." He maybe said, "God, what's going on?" But he didn't quit. He said, he just stayed strong. And yet through his faithfulness, through his pain, God rewarded him. God said, "He's faithful to me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw God in fire. Can you believe that? They saw God in this burning furnace that no one thought they could survive. But yet they went in. I don't know if they knew beforehand whether Jesus was going to save them or not, but they just went in knowing that they were with God. And God showed up for them. Daniel saw God in the lion's den. Jonah saw God in the belly of a well. Elijah saw God in a whisper. I think about that verse, that set of verses in 1 Kings 19, where it talks about how it says the wind came, the earthquake came, and the fire came, and God was not in any of those things, but he was in the whisper. So many times in my life, I'm waiting for this loud, booming voice, but yet a lot of times the Lord speaks to me in the whisper, in the stillness, in the quiet, when I just quiet my mind and I listen to him for what he has to say to me. Elijah saw God in a chariot taking away his mentor to heaven. Can you imagine what that was like? People in the New Testament who saw God. If you can't tell, I like lists. But for me, before I read this list, I like to think about things that repeat in the Bible, things that have a pattern. And this has a pattern, I believe. Jesus saw God. He saw God as a father. He saw God do these amazing things, and he knew it wasn't himself. He saw God as a dove. He saw God in times where he no one could imagine. It says this in John 5:19. Says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." And John 8:38 says, "I speak what I have seen my Father." Or, "I speak what I have seen my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father." It was his Father. He saw God as a Father. As someone who is just right there. And I think about my Father, and I think about, I don't see him that high. I don't see him as a God, but he had high respect for his Father. Because he did what he's told him to do. He didn't do anything without what the Father told him to do. And some people who saw God were the people who were there were for Jesus, who saw Jesus on the earth. And John 14:7-9, it says, "If you had known me and would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." Jesus said to him, "I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me. Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" He was right there, and yet some people missed it. Tons of people missed it. Tons of people missed it. It wasn't until after his resurrection that people began to get it. Some people who saw him in the physical and recognized him. You have Mary, Jesus' mother, Joseph, his earthly father, Elizabeth, shepherds, magi, wise men, Simeon, Anna, John the Baptist, Andrew, Peter, the woman at the well, Martha, Mary, the thief on the cross, the centurion at the cross. Peter, James, and Saul, and John saw God on the mountain. They saw God, Jesus transfigured before them. How crazy would that be? Just the three of them, they just go up on the mountain, and yet Jesus changes their minds and lives and the way they look at Jesus forever. Some followers who saw Jesus at the post-resurrection, they saw God. Mary Magdalene, they were there. Mary and Mary Magdalene were there. 11 disciples, two who were traveling to Emmaus. John, 500 at his ascension. Stephen, this is a post-ascension, but Stephen saw God. He saw God in the midst of persecution. He saw God while he was being stoned to death. Yet he saw God. He saw God sitting at the right hand of the Father. Paul saw God in a blinding light. It changed his life forever in that instance. Ananias, he saw God through Paul. He saw a murderer, someone who was not even with God, who claimed to know the Scripture but was not with God, changed. John saw God in the Revelation. So, those are some of the people who have seen God. That's not even the entire list, but I want to share this story with you before I tell you about how I see God. And I heard this story, I guess about 2-3 years ago. One of my professors at Emmanuel shared this story with one of our classes, and it got a hold of my life, and this is really where this sermon comes from. And if you don't take anything away from this sermon, I hope you take away this story, because it is powerful. It says this. It says, a small boy once approached his slightly older sister with a question about God. "Susan, can anybody ever really see God?" he asked. Busy with other things, Susan curtly replied, "No, of course not, silly. God is so far up in heaven that nobody can see him." Time passed, but still the question lingered. So he approached his mother. "Mom, can anybody ever really see God?" "No, not really," she gently said. "God is a spirit, and he dwells in our hearts, but we can never really see him." Somewhat satisfied, but still wondering, the youngster went on his way. Not long afterwards, his saintly old grandfather took the little boy on a fishing trip. They were having a great time together, and it had been an ideal day. The sun was beginning to set with an unusual splendor. As the day ended, the old man stopped fishing and turned his full attention to the exquisite beauty unfolding before him. On seeing the face of his grandfather reflecting such deep peace and contentment as he gazed into the magnificent, ever-changing sunset, the little boy thought for a moment and finally spoke hesitantly. "Granddad, I was wondering, I wasn't going to ask anybody else, but I wonder if you could tell me the answer to something I've been wondering about for a long time. Can anybody ever really see God?" The old man did not even turn his head. A long moment slipped before he finally answered. "Grandson," he quietly said, "it's getting so I can't see anything else." When I think about that statement, it's getting so I can't see anything else. What am I doing with my life? Why am I complaining? Yes, my life isn't perfect, but yet God is everywhere in my life. He's at work everywhere I go. It blew me away, this did. And I want to share some ways that I see God. One of those ways that I see God is I see God on a golf course. Before I came over here, I was chipping in the living room, and I was just sort of getting ready to come over here and getting mentally set, and I was praying, and it's just one way I can see God. Because when I'm out there, sometimes I like to play by myself, but when I'm out there by myself, I just look at the beauty of the golf course. I look at the beauty of what's around me and what God has created, and I see God in that. I see God in my family. As I said earlier, I wouldn't be here without my mom and dad. I see them in my mom and dad because they set the standard for my life. They said, "You need to live this way. We're going to church. We're going to have devotions. We're going to pray." I see them in my little brothers. You know, they can annoy me, like as Pastor Stephen was talking about with Debbie this morning, but I see God in them because I see their talents. I see the abilities that God has given them. I see them in my grandparents. I'll never forget, this was, I guess, last October that me and Alex and CJ and Caleb went up to see Joshua perform at Dollywood. And it was a long couple days there, but I stayed at my grandparents' house on Saturday night and went to church with them. And that Sunday I had to go back to school, and as I was leaving, I began to weep because of how precious that time is with them. The peace I have in my heart when I'm with them is different than when I'm with anybody else. My hemisphere of people and the people who are around me is so different with them because I have such a peace with them. I see them in our family, my family's farm. We have a farm up in Raven County, and it's so beautiful out there. You can just get out and walk around and see God's beauty. It's kind of like playing golf for me. I just get to walk and see everything God has made and enjoy it and take it in and listen to Him in the whisper. I see Him at school. And I'm not saying Emmanuel's perfect place, but I love it there. Because the Lord has done such amazing things while I've been there. And if I hadn't gone to Emmanuel, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be at this place. I wouldn't have made the friends I've made. I wouldn't have learned the things I've learned. It's not perfect again, but there's just something about it that I've grown so much in my life. I've grown so much in spiritually, intellectually. It's been a place that has changed my life, and I've seen God there. I have the best professors, I think, in the world, and this has been a different semester because I've not been there, but I see God in them. They've imparted so much into my life. They've taught me so much. And I think about the last day of my Synoptic Gospels class. And I get up there to preach, well, really teach. We had to do an exegetical sermon. And I chose to do the Lord's Supper. And it was a really good time because we actually got to partake in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. This is my last class with my senior class. And I never will have a semester-long class with them again. So that was the last time that I'll ever meet with them. And afterwards, we sat down. I sat down with him because he wanted to not so much critique me, but just let me know the things I did well, things I can work on, that kind of deal. But as soon as I got up, I realized that was the last time that I would have this professor. And I began to weep again because he had changed my life, and I'd seen God in him because of his teachings, because of the things that he had ministered into my life. I saw God in him. And I see God in my friends. I have some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life. And it's because I've been at Emmanuel. I have Caleb, Clay, I have Joshua now, I have Austin now, I have Alex now, I have Holden, Justin, Rebecca. I have all these people in my life now that God brought in my life, and I see God through them. I see God in them because they abide in God, I believe. And God uses them to minister to me, to encourage me, to make me laugh, to bring joy to my life. I have these friends in my life that I see God in. Finally, I see God in Pastor Stephen and Miss Sherry in this church. This church is, from the moment I stepped on these grounds, I knew this is where God wanted me to be. Through Emmanuel, because I went to Emmanuel, I was able to come here. And through Caleb, through my friendship with Caleb, I got to even know Pastor Stephen and come over here some and know Miss Sherry. And it's changed my life. The love they have, I think about how quickly this has moved by. This semester has just flown by. But I think back to Valentine's Day. And Miss Ruth, even, they got me a Valentine's card. That's such a small thing, but I saw God in that. And I just had a birthday recently. They got me a birthday card. They celebrated me like I was their own son, and they even signed it that way. Who does that? What kind of love is that? That's God love. That's God's love put inside them. I see God in you guys. The way you guys love, I can't explain it. I can't go anywhere with Austin and see someone from the church. He doesn't say, I love you. And the person say it back. It's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing here. I remember my first Sunday night here. Barbara and Furman Bryant, were sitting like second, third row over here. And I think it was Sunday night. I can't remember. And somebody came down to the altar. And Barbara came down and prayed for that person. And that impacted me so much. I'll never forget that. God was using her. And it was showing me, listen, it's okay to do whatever you want to do because it's free. Not saying that it's, you know, do whatever, go and do cartwheels down the aisle. But God is moving here. It's not just some place that you just come and sit and you go home. Life change is happening here. I see God in the food bank volunteers. Those guys sacrifice so much of their time. I see God in youth, and it's been amazing just getting to hang out over there and be a part of that ministry. It's just been so amazing. I can't believe how quickly, though, that this semester has flown by. Because, and I know I'll be here for the summer, and that'll fly by even quicker, I'm sure, but I love it here because I see God in this place. And I think about, I was thinking about this when I was coming up for some illustrations. I was thinking about a couple years ago, I was going to see my granddad for his birthday, and I was coming from school, and I was going up to this to his house, and I'd never been the way I'd gone before. So I got my GPS out, and as I was going up there, I started to realize I wasn't really looking around a lot to see what was around me, see what was going on around me. I was sort of just kind of focused to get there on time and follow the GPS, make sure I don't make a wrong turn. And I realized that I didn't really know, you know, I didn't get to take in any of the beauty that was around me. And I think that happens so often in our lives where we're going, we're trying to get to this place, this point in our life where we'll finally be made whole or finally be complete in life, finally be, our dreams will be realized, our goals will be realized. Yet we miss the beauty that God has for us where we're at right now. And I think that when we do that, we miss God sometimes. You know, it's easy for the Israelites, they were complaining all the way to the Promised Land because that's where they wanted to be. But when they finally got there, they missed it. They were like, no, we're good. We're good. I don't want to miss God in my life. That's why I try to take a moment to just stop and look at and see where God, what God is doing in my life and what God is trying to say to me. What God, who God is using in my life to speak to me. I don't want to just say, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go graduate and whatever, so thank you guys so much. I want to say thank you so much for showing God to me. Thank you so much for being a church that has God moving. That doesn't just say, okay, well, let's just come to church on Sunday and we'll see you on next Sunday. Let's stop and take a moment to thank God. And as I start to come, sort of bring it down to a close, and I know this has been quick, but I want to take this sermon and go into a time of prayer like we've been doing. And I want us to think about a couple things as we pray and as we worship. Because so many times we just skip over it. And there's a couple people I want to pray for. But the people I'm thinking about, and the people that's on my mind and on my heart, are some people who maybe you've been going through life and you never thought of God in this way, and you never have taken a moment to just think about who are those people who I've seen God through. I'll never forget a couple weeks ago, I was, actually it was this past week, I was going into Miss Sherry's office, and we were talking, and by the way, I see God in you, Miss Sherry. I love you so much. I love you, Miss Sherry. And we were talking and about, I can't remember what we were talking about, but I saw this picture up on her bookshelf, and it was a picture of Pastor Dennis and who was the chairman? Calvin. And she said, those are the two people that have ministered to me the most. And I thought about it, and I said, she sees God in those people. And it just blew me away because And I know she realizes it. But I think so many times we miss those people. And those people, I think a lot of times we don't even realize that we're doing that, that we're being God to people. And but I think it's so important that we abide in God. That's the only way we can do it. And that verse, the verse I talked about, in 1 John 4:12, no one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and we in Him. God is in us, so we have to show Him to people. We have to show Him to the world, to the people we work with. We have to show God to the people that are around us, that work around us. We have to show God wherever we go, no matter who we are going to see, no matter who we're around. Even if you're not just talking about Jesus, 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 even if you're just smiling at people. I'll never forget Tony Barnett. He talks about walking slowly through a crowd. Just walk slowly through a crowd. You can see people's faces. You can see hurting faces. People who need Jesus. Sometimes we just forget it. We're just so in such a hurry. We're just looking down at our GPSs in life saying, I got to get to this point. I got to get a master's degree in whatever. I would miss it so much. I would miss so much of what God is trying to say right now at this place. I would miss it. And so when we abide in God, when we abide in Jesus, we have to press in like what Pastor Stephen was talking about this morning. It's not about just coming to church on Sunday. It's about abiding in Him every day. Every day we wake up saying, God, where are You taking me? Who am I supposed to minister to? If you want to show God to other people, you have to, it's not about being intentional, but it's about just living and abiding with Jesus. You can't just go and say, well, I'll be God to this people. Here you go. Here's God. You have to pray. You have to gear yourself up. You have to just say, God, I want to abide in You. And no matter where you go, someone's going to be touched. I think about that. Am I abiding in God? Am I abiding in Jesus? Am I someone who is looking for God? I don't do it every day. I'm not saying my life is perfect because I think about life in this way. I don't think about life because I abide in Jesus. I don't think about my life in a perfect way because I see God everywhere I go now. There's still days I wake up and I struggle, but when someone encourages me and someone says something to me that I needed to hear, I immediately see God in that. I'm like, oh, God's working in my life. I see God in those people. So tonight, I do want to pray for these two people. The first person I want to pray for is the person who says they've never looked at God in this way. They've never looked to see the people around them as seeing God, or the nature around them, or whatever they do that they feel peace in, and they feel like God is speaking to them. The second person I want to pray for is those who maybe have never had that relationship with God. I know this is not the Seeker Service, this is the Save Service, but for those people who have never had that relationship with God, who have never been with God, I want to pray for you guys. And for that first group, I also want to pray for you that you will abide with God. I want to pray that you not only just start seeing people in a new way, that you start seeing your life in a new way, or seeing God all around you. I want to pray that you start abiding with God so that you can show people God. I pray that for my life, because some days I wake up and I'm like, man, I'm not feeling it today. But I have to get to that place where I do just wake up and I'm abiding with God, and so it's just natural. So if you guys will stand with me, I want to pray. If everybody will bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're part of that first group and you say, well, I've never really seen God in that light. I've never seen God in that manner. I've never really thought about God in that way. But maybe you want to be someone who abides in God and someone who shows others who God is through your life, through the way you live your life. Someone who helps people who helps show people who God is. Know God in your life. Maybe you want to be that type of person. If you say you want to be that type of person, if you say you want to see God in that way, will you raise your hand?